G'day gang, Lee Martinuzzi here. How are you today? Just before we get started into today's show, just want to make a quick announcement. I'm just about to launch my new book called Your Virtual Freedom. Focus on the big ideas, outsource the rest. It's about the benefits and the how-tos of hiring virtual assistants to help free up more of your time. If that sounds like it might be of interest to you, please jump onto thehiddenwire.com, go to the resources link, and you'll see the book image there, Your Virtual Freedom. Press that link, and then it'll ask you for a code. The code is free, F-R-E-E. It must be in higher case capital letters. So type in that code, and you'll be able to download your free copy. Guys, enjoy the read. It's only for a short time whilst I'm still launching the book officially on Amazon, etc. So check that out and enjoy the read, and enjoy today's show.
Whenever I'm starting to do something new or I'm doing something that's uncomfortable and I get to that point that I would normally run or hide or quit, I have this mantra that I just say, I can, I will, I am. And I'll repeat that over and over and over until I move through that discomfort.
This is episode 261 on the Hidden Why podcast with Keith Callahan.
You're listening to The Hidden Why with your host, Lee.
G'day gang, welcome to another episode of the Hidden Why podcast. My name's Lee Martinuzzi. Great to have you here with me today. Today, guys, it's a little bit more inspiration on how to go out there and discover your hidden why. Doing the work and doing what it takes to really start living a life more true to yourself. That's what it's all about here. Today, I've got a guest on the show with me, Keith. I almost said Steve again, but Keith Callahan. I called him Steve in the interview. You'll pick up on that. But Keith Callahan, he's got a dream. He had a dream and he thought it was all about being rich and, you know, having all that lovely stuff. And certainly he set up a great life for himself now, but he went through some troubles and some struggles along the way, claiming bankruptcy at one point there after the real estate crash in the States. It's a really good story, and I didn't know where this topic would go or the conversation would go, but we started actually talking about network marketing, which he is involved with. Now, I don't have any influence in network marketing. I'm neither here or there for it. It's really a choice of yours, and I just want to encourage you to keep an open mind. Like, some people, as soon as they hear that word, they might have a sour taste pop up and they might switch off. But there's some great insights that I got out of this conversation and some lessons, obviously, about network marketing. So if you are considering that as a business model to use, then maybe there's some good lessons in here that you can take away to select the right company. There might even be some lessons in here on how to grow your business. But for me, again, I'm not in network marketing. I have been in the past. For me, it was more about, you know, just ironing out the issues around that business model. But also, there was a couple of great points that he mentioned, and that relates to all aspects of our life. Whether you're an entrepreneur, you're in network marketing, you've got your own business, or you're just, you know, working the job that you love, these points are really essential for life. So take them away. I'll put them in the show notes as well at thehiddenwire.com. Enjoy the conversation, guys. I'd love to know your thoughts on network marketing, what you think, and you know, why. Why you think that way. I always encourage people to be open. Just be open-minded. You don't have to accept it as your belief or your way or something that you agree with, but you just need to be open. Otherwise, you just shut off some opportunities that might present themselves or some learnings or insights. And certainly, that's the conversation that we had today, and there was great learnings and insights for me. So enjoy this one, guys. If you do love it, share it with your network. Share it on Facebook, Twitter, Google, etc. And just sign up to the Hidden Why podcast. Sign up to thehiddenwhy.com and take me up on some of the resources that I'm offering out there. There are some great ones, like the Discovery Questionnaire. Really good way to tap into who you are at the core, you know, your essence and what it's all about, what's important to you in life. So take me up on that. It's a free questionnaire valued at $49. So you can have a look at that and download that when you are ready. Thank you, guys. Enjoy this episode, this chat, this conversation with Keith Callahan.
This is The Hidden Why, discussing ideas and thoughts on living life with passion and finding your hidden why, your reason, your purpose.
G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Hidden Why podcast. My name is Lee Martinuzzi, the host of the show, and today I'm excited. I'm pumped. I've got Keith Callahan on the line with me. How are you, Keith?
I'm doing great, Lee, and excited to be on the show with you.
Man, it's great to have you here. It's different time zones. You're, 8 hours in the past or behind us here in Japan? How's your day playing out so far? It must be about 2 o'clock or something there.
Yeah, it's right around 2:30, and it's been playing out really, really good. I had my I'm living that dream life that you talk about. So I was able to, I get up early in the morning and record podcasts for my show. So I did that first and then had breakfast, drove the kids to school, worked out with a few friends, and then started my work day. And here we are at the tail end of the work day.
Nice one. And what did you have for lunch?
Today I had soup. We have a where the area, so I live in Massachusetts, and the area that I live is a really big farm to table area. So it was soup with we're approaching winter, so soup with all the winter vegetables in it.
Oh, nice. Sounds good. Yeah, it's definitely in cold weather. It's certainly winter here, or coming into it.
Yeah.
That sort of food is very comforting, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
What, Keith, what does your day look like? Just describe for the audience.
Well, it really just switched. So one of the things that I had always wanted to do and I had never done was I wanted to become a morning person. And I'm still not a morning person, but I start my day early. I have four kids. So I have four kids that are six and under. And
I like this.
Yeah. So in order to really start being effective, because once those kids are up, it's just busy. What I started doing is I get up at anywhere between 5 and 5:30 in the morning now, and I spend about 15 to 20 minutes in a prayer meditation space, like just really clearing my mind and getting centered for the day. And I have my coffee at that point. And then I jump right into recording for my podcast. So the podcast is The Business of Life. So jump right into recording that. And then it's like for me, the creative part of the day is that's the piece that I used to always, it used to hang over me. It used to be like, all right, I got to get this done. So now it's the first thing that I do. And I usually have about an hour left after recording that I'm really able to sit down and I'm able to focus in on a high priority item in my business, something that's not going to have a huge impact today, but that if I keep pushing forward, it's going to have a huge impact down the road. So that's sort of the first part of the day. Then I get the kids off to school. I meet a group of friends for a workout. I come back. I have a home office. That's where I work out of. So nice. I have the home office. And I've got about 4 hours before the kids get back from school. And yeah, really at that point, it's focused in on it's funny. When we're recording this, it's a couple of days after the election over here in the States.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of social media work, but right now I'm staying the heck off of social media because it's crazy.
Yeah, I think so. I don't jump on there too much, but every time I've sort of jumped on there to post something, it's all politics and what's happening over there in the States.
Yeah.
But cool. So that sounds like a pretty rewarding sort of day. And I want to touch on a couple of things there, but first of all, living the dream. I noticed on your website you've got, living the dream. What is the dream to you and how has that changed?
It's kind of always been the same, or at least since I was aware that really originally it was just to own my own business. And when I was younger, it was like the nice car and the nice house. And I never really got that. I never got that when I was younger. And what I realized after a little bit of time went by in professional life and adult life, that there's a big difference between having your own business and creating a business that supports the type of life you want to live. So yeah, for me, about 8 years now, I set out and I really created the life that I wanted to live. And I have a beautiful wife and four beautiful children, and for me,
it'll keep you busy.
It's super busy, but at the same time, it's not that bad. I work from home. My wife is at home with the kids, so it could be worse. It definitely could be worse. And yeah. So for me, the dream is it was like my ultimate goal was to be able to do what I want, when I want, with who I want. And that for me is spending time with my family and also spending time with my spiritual community. I know you're from Australia, so you're probably familiar with the and correct me when if I pronounce this wrong, but the Maori.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I follow a Native American spiritual path, and they're very similar beliefs and strong spiritual path. So yeah, that's what I do with my time, and really. You know, I get to work when I want to work, and I get to work on what I want to work on, and then the rest of the time is really spent doing those two things with my family and my spiritual community.
Okay, that's really cool, and I like that sort of a setup. And certainly, what you said there resonates with me, and I'm sure the audience as well. But to design the life and design your business around how you want to live your life, you know. And I think a lot of us do it the opposite, or most of us do it the opposite. We get into business or get into a job, and then we try and design our life around that job. Mm. And that's when we have the problems or the discrepancies of how we really want to be in life. I believe anyway, and I'm sure the audience is listening to your story and going, geez, it does sound dreamy. Geez, that'd be nice to be able to, you know, wake up in the morning and spend time with the kids and, you know, work from home and, you know, go to the gym when I'm sort of done the first stretch of the day.
Yeah.
Is it, I mean, what do you do now for a crust? How do you make money?
For income. So I have the Business of Life podcast, but that's more of a passion project. And where 95% of our income comes from is Beachbody. So they're the creators of P90X and Insanity and all those in-home fitness programs, and it's a network marketing company.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, Lee, I never in a million years did I think that I was going to be working with a network marketing company. I kind of just had a negative view on the industry. I thought that I was too good for it.
Yeah.
And then I went through. I did one of their programs. I did the workout, and I lost weight. But the deeper part of it was, I just felt good. I felt happy. I felt vibrant. I felt alive. And I fell in love with the company. And one of the things I learned, and this is something that I always focus on, is the piece of network marketing that I didn't like was if there's these companies that just want you to sign up and buy their stuff. And, you know, they kind of do it with an icky factor. And our CEO said to us one time, because we have a lot of different network marketing companies that come to us and they ask, you know, what's the difference? Like, why are you guys so successful with this? And his answer was, it's pretty simple. We focus on what's in the box. And what he meant by that is we focus on programs and products that change people's lives, and they're going to buy them with or without this network marketing opportunity. So yeah, that was a long-winded answer, but yeah, I fell in love with that company about 8 years ago now, actually 9 years ago. It was when I had just turned 30 years old that I did that. And yeah, you know, just yeah, so that's where we're at right now.
30-year-old. It's 8 years ago. Okay. How old is the company? I'm not familiar with Beachbody.
They're about 14 years old. Yeah.
Okay, so quite young, really, in comparison to some other network marketing companies.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a bit, because it's an interesting topic, and I just want to encourage the audience, if you've got some distaste about network marketing, to just stay tuned, because you just never know what you might learn. And there's the other people that would love it and would be keen to listen about more. I'm you know, neither here nor there. I've been a part of network marketing companies, and I've, you know, got my own opinions and views and beliefs, I guess, but I'm open to it. And I think you touched on a point there, that, you know, you found something in it that just made you, just fulfilled you, you know, gave you some sort of sense of purpose and made you feel good. And whenever anything makes you feel good, you sort of want to stick around it, because it's good to keep feeling good, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. And certainly I can relate. I was in a network marketing company, and they had health products. I won't mention the name, but It was good, you know, like I did. I felt the products and I felt the benefits of taking them. But I've always been a foodie and always had questions about, you know, these sort of manufactured products, I would say, and the longer term effects of them. So I was a bit skeptical about that, and I just like eating real food, to be honest.
Absolutely.
So there wasn't a fit there for me. So I made the choice to sort of remove myself from that, and there was no, you know, negative sort of feelings against it. It was just not for me. And I think that's an important point for anyone maybe looking at a network marketing sort of business, to make sure you've got that fit, make sure you really love it. Because if you don't have that love for it, it becomes harder to talk to others about it too, I found.
It's such a good point.
So, that's one point. That's my perspective. What are some of the things that you would, tell the audience if they are or have been approached or maybe are considering it? We'll get into the myths of network marketing later maybe and maybe talk about those. But what are some of the bits of advice you'd give as far as looking for the right company to join?
I think the most important thing is exactly what you just hit on. So here's where the ick factor comes in. And what I mean by the ick factor is just where people get turned off with network marketing. It's when people are showing the fancy cars and the house and the, you know, get a bunch of friends to sign up and you win the trip. And it's just not what it's about. And if you're doing that, you may have short-term success. You know, you may get a bunch of people to sign up and you may have some short-term success, but the litmus test for a good network marketing company is, would you buy their products if there wasn't a compensation plan? Would you promote their products if there wasn't a compensation plan around it? And I think that's just like you said. Yeah. And for me, you know, I went through, I did this program, and for 2 years before I signed up as that we call it a coach. So the distributors is called a coach. I had my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my aunt, my uncle, my cousins, like we were all doing this. So it was something that I really, really believed in. And I think that's the piece. Like, you have to have something that you can fall in love with. Just like, you know, you're doing everything, all the great work that you're doing, Lee, with the Hidden Why. If you're not in love with that, you're just going to get burnt out and it's not going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good point. And I think, yeah, I love that way to look at it. If you wouldn't buy it just regularly, then perhaps it's not the right one. And certainly for the business I was in, I wouldn't have picked up that item off the supermarket shelf and put it in my trolley.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of companies out there like that. And what is it? Because I guess that is true. Like, you go to these, and I went to, I was in Amway as well. Which is one of the longest living, I guess. But they've just got this hype, this sort of, you go to these seminars and they're showing that the dream, you know, these super successful people just not really working, just having holidays all the time and all the riches, the cars, all the good things. And they put up this image, and that's obviously going to attract anyone, because everyone wants, you know, most people want that. Most people that are young and naive and, you know, really are just trying to figure things out, that's what we think we all need. So we chase that dream, you know, we chase that lifestyle, the riches. And, you know, that's people sign up. And then they I don't know if they fall into a trap, if it is a trap, but it seems like it's you know, a little bit dishonest or a little bit it's cruel in some ways as well. What are your thoughts on that and what you've experienced in the industry?
I think that it's exactly what you said. It's a trap. And that's where a lot of so if you look at network marketing, what it really is it's a business model. Yeah. And the business model is peer to peer or relational marketing. Like, it's friends telling friends about stuff. And what happens is there's companies within the network marketing industry. And so as a whole, what the network marketing industry is really doing is we're continually working with there's different governing bodies in each country, but really working with them to make sure that the good, clean players are the practices that the good, clean players are practicing are promoted throughout. And here's the deal. Like, if somebody's promoting the house and the car and all that stuff, then it's promoting something that a, so let's, this is a sales industry. It's a sales business. And
yeah,
I'll be honest, like, we've done extremely well, and I've had tons of people that I've worked with. We have a downline of over 30,000 coaches. So we've done really well, but we don't have a mortgage on our home. We don't have car payments. I paid off all my student loans. We didn't go buy the big fancy cars and the big house, because I want to make sure that if this was gone 5 years from now, that we're going to be okay. Hmm. And I really feel like the promotion of that stuff, it does two things. It gives people a false sense of hope, because the reality is that a very small percentage of people in network marketing are going to get those things.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is, it's almost like a pop star or a professional athlete, where you hear all these stories about them losing all their money, because if they get hurt or they get injured or something happens and they have the massive mortgage, all the car payments and all these other things, that now their life can't support it. So yeah, I think it's first and foremost, the number one thing in this industry should be about people, and it should be about people helping people and people helping people to improve their lives, not about the car or all the fancy stuff. And we all have certain things that we want, but that should be on the back burner. The forefront should always be about helping and serving people.
Yeah, I agree. And certainly that false sense of hope, I guess, you know, a bit of advice there would be, if you're looking at a network marketing company and that's all that you're seeing is that hype, maybe that should alert you to some alarm bells, if it's not more about the product, as you said, with joining a company. I think you've done it very, very smartly, as how you've set yourself up. You know, you haven't gone above and beyond, and I could probably talk about that. I didn't realize this is the way the conversation would go today, which is pretty cool.
It's the best part about interviews, right? They just go.
And I've got a few questions around it myself. And I guess, you know, there's people that have either negative about it because they say, oh, pyramid scam, etc. I mean, you just said there it's a business model, and I agree with that. I think it is a business model. But what do you say to people when they say it's a pyramid scam or something like that?
It's funny, when people say that, I ask them what they mean. And it usually ends there, because they can't explain what they mean. They just heard a friend. They heard a friend say that.
That's true.
And then getting deeper into that, here's the illusion that people have, that it's about you sign up and then you sign up a bunch of other people that do stuff, and then you're the guy on the top that makes money, and whoever gets in first makes more money, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what the impression that a lot of people have. With a good company and a good compensation plan, and pretty much all network marketing companies have this figured out now, you could come in anywhere and beat all the people that are above you, because it's not about when you got in and you know, if you get in the beginning and other people get underneath you, there's checks and balances in it. You know, you have to be producing a certain amount. You have to develop leaders underneath you. You have to build a team. And it's just, you know, I've seen a couple times where people do, they get lucky. They sign up as a distributor or a coach, and they bring a couple people in, and those people really take off with the business, and that initial person makes some money. But that's like playing the lottery. That doesn't happen. You know, that's 1 in 100,000 people that happens to.
Yeah.
This is it's a business model, and it's, you're doing one of two things. You're either retailing products, so you have people that are buying products from you, or you're helping somebody else get their business started. But the truth is that you have to, like, it's investing a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of effort into just loving people, supporting them, and believing in them until they can believe in themselves. So yeah, it's like the pyramid part of it is, yeah, I guess you could look at it, like, you could draw it out and say that's how the structure is. But the real deal is that if you're not enriching the lives of other people, you're not going to get paid.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, a couple of points that came to me when I was looking into it about the pyramid was you look at a corporation and you look at who's the top and who's making the most money there and who's under them. You know, that's a really good idea of a pyramid to me. Is that you have, you know, a bunch of workers and you have one guy on top earning all the money. But you make a couple of good points there, and it's a honest discussion, so it's good to have. But, you know, some people do just get lucky. They find a few people under them and then make, you know, make some riches and make some immediate success, but it doesn't happen that often at all.
Yeah, and it doesn't last either. All network marketing companies are set up that you have to continue to produce or you don't get paid.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah, and it's still a business. You have to work, like you said. So things to keep in mind if you are looking for that sort of a business model. I like the business model because it's sort of a business model that's already set up. So it's just about, you know, taking it on and learning the ropes compared to creating your own, which, you know, a lot of the people listening to this podcast are entrepreneurial in nature, and that's what they'll do. So sometimes that's a good thing as well, is that you just get to walk into a pre-built business model. For me, part of the fun was taken out of that as well, because I really liked the creative part and building my own things. So that was probably a part for me that I didn't really enjoy as much.
Yeah, I agree with you totally with that. There's pros and cons to it. The cons are that all that piece is really taken out, you know, because the corporate, the main company does that for you.
Yeah. So couple of good points there raised, and look, I'm not neither for or against it. I just think it's something that's good to discuss and good to have an open mind about. Certainly, you're doing well, Keith, with the business. So congratulations to that. Are there any warning signs that you'd give to people about network money? Anything else that we've missed that we might have, you know, would have been beneficial to talk about?
I think that it wouldn't be a warning. I guess I could do one warning sign, but it's sort of later on in the business. And then also a point that I want to make. I think if you're looking at a network marketing company, first of all, you want to do your homework and make sure it's a good, legit company with solid products. And like we said, with something that you would buy, even if you weren't attached to a compensation plan with it. You have to, like, if you're going to go into this, it's not a, I get signed up with a network marketing company and I'm just going to go out and crush it. Like, you have to be self-motivated. You have to be disciplined. You're going to get into a system that's going to teach you how to succeed, but you have to do it. But I think besides the work that you do, the most important thing you can do when you sign up is sign up with somebody who knows how to mentor and teach you. Because you're one of the blessings of a network marketing company is you get a sponsor. You get somebody who's responsible for teaching you how to build a business, who is going to be there with you step by step. And there's a lot of people that just sign people up and they don't do anything. And then there's a lot of sponsors who invest the time and energy and really nurture and train their people, and you become part of their family. So I think choosing a sponsor wisely is really important. And then when I first started having some success with Beachbody, I asked one of the corporate guys who I really respected, and he had been in the industry for years. And I said, what are some of the pitfalls that you see that people should watch out for in this industry? And he listed two things. He's the first thing we actually already talked about. He said people start spending money before they should, and they spend way more than they should. So that was the first thing he mentioned. And the second thing that he mentioned is when somebody starts having success, they stop doing the grinding work, like the day-to-day work that got them to that point. So, yeah, I've always personally taken those to heart. And I think for anybody that is looking into a network marketing company, making sure that you're getting a good sponsor and then not getting too big for your own britches as it grows.
Yeah, really, really cool points. And I don't think they're, you know, just for network marketers as well. Like, You know, the first one is finding a good mentor. No matter what you do, like whether you're starting your own business, you're entrepreneurial, in life, even if you've got a job that you go to, having a good mentor is key to really helping you develop. And it sounds strange sometimes when I talk about it because I sort of wonder if that's true. But really, having someone there just to give you an external perspective, guide you, give you a kick in the bum, whatever it might be, is a really good way to, you know, just excel and excel quicker and avoid some of the challenges that you might otherwise face. So I think that's a really good takeaway. The other one is, you know, spending the money before you should be spending it. And I think a lot of people do that when they have, you know, there was a big mining boom in Australia recently and a lot of people went out there and they were making huge money but didn't realize how to manage it. So they were just spending it. And then the mining industry went down, lots of jobs went, and suddenly we have all these people coming back to the cities looking for work and with all these debts because they bought properties and bits and pieces that they just couldn't no longer afford.
I didn't know about all that just went on. Huh.
Yeah, it's probably not, you know, I'll probably talk up a little bit, but you know, that's certainly happened and it happens a lot. I hear it often where people make the money and then they go out and spend it all and they go, oh, where the hell did it all go, you know? And then if something goes wrong, like you said, you know, setting yourself up just in case something goes wrong, then suddenly you've got more than you can handle, which is a really cool point. And, well, certainly the point I got from it. And the other one is keep doing the work, you know. Don't just let success get to your head and think you can just take it on easy street. You know, it's life is all about continually working on yourself and improving and learning. And I think that's a really good point too for the audience, no matter what you're doing, whether it's network marketing or not. Are there some ethics that should be placed around network marketing businesses as far as, you know, how they promote it and how they sell it, do you think?
In the United States, there is. So in the United States, the FTC heavily regulates it. I think that the ethics around it are good. I think that they're doing a really good job with it. Don't think that they should loosen up on it. Like a lot of people within network marketing think that they should loosen up on it, but it's almost like in the United States we had this big mortgage crisis and a real estate crisis. Yeah. And the reason we had that was because it was very similar to what happens sometimes in network marketing with the selling of the dream. Your mortgage brokers were selling you of the dream to buy this house and this and that. And you were getting put in a loan that you just couldn't afford. And I think that, you know, with anything, the really explaining what it is that you're getting involved in. And, you know, in the past, it used to be that you would get involved with a network marketing company and then you would have thousands of dollars of product that you would have to buy. Yeah. And then you'd have to sell it, right? And you can get yourself in a lot of trouble that way. You can't do that anymore. And I think like the most expensive one. So for our company, it's like $150 to get started and you have a full 30-day money back guarantee on that. I think the most expensive one is like $800 now. So really it doesn't have that ability to crush somebody like it used to, because it used to be thousands of dollars. You'd have a garage full of stuff. So yeah, they cracked down on that part of it.
Okay. Yeah. I had a couple of questions there. In as far as, you know, selling the hope of, you know, riches, traveling, you know, freedom and all that sort of stuff, do you think there's any ethics around that that should be played out or not? I mean, I don't think so myself, but yeah.
Yeah, what we do, I guess I can answer that from a standpoint of what our company is trained to do. So the number one thing that we focus on is helping people through the products first. And then if they have a good experience, then they can become a coach and help other people through the products.
Yeah.
And it's really the difference of leading with the business opportunity or leading with the products and programs. We're actually within Beachbody, like we're not allowed to promote the cars and the houses and all that stuff. It's against the policy and procedures. And anytime you bring up anything, like if if I talked about a vacation that we just went on and or something like that, or a trip that we went on with Beachbody, we have to put a disclaimer right on the wherever we post that. So if it's on a website or on a on a Facebook page, saying that, you know, results may vary, it depends upon what you do, that type of thing. So yeah, I think that
that sort of a claim, because, you know, you look at social media and you know, there's a flourishing amount of network marketing companies, it appears to me anyway. And you see people on this beach, you know, holding up their network marketing signs, or, you know, they just this dreamy life. And of course, you know, when you post it on your social media and your friends see it, or your colleagues see it, or someone that somehow knows you see it, they go, geez, that looks like a nice life. And of course they want to be in on that, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's a problem with that.
Yeah, I think it. I also think there's a level of personal responsibility from people too. Mm-hmm. Like, if you know, to research what it is that you're getting into.
Yeah, good point. And that's I think the point of life, isn't it? You've got to do your own research and make your own decisions, and not need to be babied. So yeah, pretty valid point. What about the long? I mean, first of all, is there a flourishing amount of network marketings coming in as far as you can tell? And what's the longevity look like for these companies? I mean, are they long lasting, or are they getting shorter and shorter now because of the amount that are coming into the marketplace? What's the go?
I think it varies. It varies on the type of company, the what you're leading with, and also the industry that you're in. For example, the company that I'm in, Beachbody, we're just in the United States and Canada. That's the only place that the network marketing opportunity is. And it's taken us, like I said, it's been 14 years, and they could have expanded in a bunch of other countries, but they wanted to get it right and really get a strong, solid foundation of people that are, you know, that really care about people, that are really invested in this before we go international. And we still don't have a date for international. So
that's cool.
I think that and during that time, I've seen a lot of companies come and go. And we haven't really had that, you know, crazy growth. We've just had strong, steady, consistent growth over time.
Yeah, true. And I see a lot of companies that have come on and they just go big. Like, they go to China and start going everywhere pretty rapidly. Again, I don't know how it all works really, but it's interesting. Interesting business model, and certainly something that seems very popular. Is there a reason why you think it's popular? Is it just because a lot of the millennials are in there and a lot of people want to have that lifestyle where they've got, you know, sort of their own schedule to work?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that really attracted me to network marketing, I had my own company prior to that, and we had anywhere from 20, I think we had 28 employees at the highest point. What really attracted me to network marketing, though, was two things. The first thing was that there was a system in place that allowed me to really learn. It allowed me to learn and duplicate, and I didn't have to create it myself. So it was like this built-in mentorship system.
Yeah.
And I think that's attractive to people, or at least it was to me. And the other reason that I was really attracted to it was I love entrepreneurship. Like, I absolutely love it. It's in my bones. It's my hidden why. It's like what I'm born to do. It's what I love. And the piece that I really loved about network marketing is I didn't have employees anymore. I had people that I could mentor to become their own entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And so bringing that all together, I think the piece that's really exciting for millennials, for younger people with network marketing, is it's such a small barrier to entry to become an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yeah, really cool. And I think that's a good place to sort of wrap up the network marketing conversation. But yeah, guys, like, keep an open mind to it. And if you are interested, you know, just do your research and look into it, and do what feels right, I guess, if you're going down that path. But a lot of good takeaways from that discussion too, Keith, as far as how we can apply certain principles to our own lives, no matter what we're doing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What Keith, I read your story and I've had a look at your website. So for the audience, you can go to keithcallahan.com, which is KEITHCALLAHAN.com. I hope I got that right.
You got it.
I'll stick it in the show notes anyway at thehiddenwire.com so you can get the links there anyway. Keith's got a bunch of information. He's got a couple of podcasts that you can sign up to and have a listen to. The one of particular interest might be the Business of Life podcast, where you share short snippets. Is that daily, Keith?
Yeah, we just switched to 5 days a week.
Nice one. So, yeah, really, really good opportunity to learn a bit about business. But it's also got your about page, Keith. And I know you're in real estate and you were doing the whole thing while that growth period was happening and fixing and selling homes and making a fair bit of coin. But then it came to that sharp end. Can you tell us a bit about that and your learning experiences?
Yeah, it came at a really good time for me. It came totally out of nowhere. So I got involved with real estate right out of college, and I got lucky. I was in the right place at the right time. I bought a home and I resold it really quick, made a nice little profit. And then I got a business partner and we were buying houses, fixing them up and selling them. And we would have anywhere from like 10 to 12 houses going at the same time. So homes that we were buying, fixing them up and reselling them. And I was up in Massachusetts in the Boston area, and the market started to slow there. So we were researching markets around the United States in different parts of the country. And we moved down to the Carolinas and we moved down to Charlotte, the city of Charlotte, North Carolina. And everything was perfect there. It was like a perfect storm. They were opening their first railroad station. So the city didn't have railroad yet. And they had the tracks laid. They had the cars in the station. And then the market crashed. And it was about 6 or 7 years that it took for that railroad station to open. So we had bought a bunch of houses along that railroad station or along the different stops. And these were houses that were in really nice neighborhoods. And, you know, once the rail line opened up, they were going to really go up in value. And when the market crashed and they announced that they weren't going to open the rail, they literally went from like 200,000 a piece to like 40,000 overnight.
Wow.
And we had 10 of them. So I wound up, and I had friends and family who invested, and everything that I had made for the previous 10 years went into paying back all of my friends, all of my family. So if there was any good that came out of it, or like that part was really important to me to make sure that those guys were paid back, because I wasn't married yet. I didn't have a family. I honestly had nothing to lose, but I had, you know, aunts and uncles and relatives that were counting on me. So we paid them back. And then eventually in the end of it, I wound up filing bankruptcy, and you know, that taught me a lot. It really, really taught me about thinking out far into the future. It taught me a lot about not putting all your eggs in one basket. It taught me about living below your means, which we're doing now. So, yeah, that's sort of the story in a nutshell.
And I think there's some great lessons that haven't, well, I think there's always lessons that happen in failings, and certainly ones like that, you can learn a lot if you can just get through it. A lot of people probably don't get through it as well as you have and taken the learnings out to you know, improve themselves going forward. You touch on, you know, living below our means, and I know in your story you talked about that idea of being rich, and I can certainly relate to that. You know, I always wanted to be rich just because I wanted to be rich, as you state, and, you know, having the fancy cars and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to have, I just told, I was on a business conference yesterday, and I just told them there that I used to have a picture of a nice car on my vision board in front of me, and I don't have that anymore because it just doesn't make sense to me, you know? What is it about, you know, and I guess that's part of, you know, growing up and learning maybe. And I think there's still some people out there driven by that. But what are your thoughts about, you know, having our needs met and living within your needs and what actually feels good? Because you can still have a really kick-ass life, can't you? And you say that in your Well, you're saying that today, and you say it in your about page as well. But having that dream life, even though you don't, you know, have all that stuff that people think is so important.
Yeah, I think that at least for me, until I got to the point that I could have that, there was an illusion that somehow I was going to be happier when that happened.
Yeah.
And then I became very, like, I had a really big reality slap because, sure, you know, I had we have nice cars, we have a nice home, but then all of a sudden I got it all, I got everything that I always wanted, and then I wasn't that satisfied, and then I realized that wow, like it's not, none of that stuff is ever going to make you happy because you get it, you want more, you get it, you want more, so I made the conscious decision, and I think that, you know, if people can learn this before getting to that point, especially entrepreneurs, like we have this, we have it in our heart and in our blood and we just, it's in our DNA, but really understanding that once there's a certain lifestyle that's comfortable for you. And once that's met, it really, the purpose of life is helping other people and serving other people. And, you know, the joy of having somebody say to you, you know, thank you, I wouldn't have been able to do that without you. And, you know, watching someone transform before your eyes, that's what does it for me now. And I think that, you know, we're also sold all this stuff through advertising, and it's just this subliminal message over and over and over, the beautiful woman, the car, the house, like all this more, more, more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think like just bringing that back, like the piece that we were talking about earlier, I think it's at some point you take personal responsibility for, you know, I'm not going to be a part of that anymore and I'm going to create my own happiness.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, a really good point. We'll wrap it up there. I've got some questions I want to ask you, but certainly around the whole happiness piece, the fulfillment of what you do, the freedom in what you do. Those things are really important. And as an entrepreneur or anyone, really, I think those are the things that you want to sort of think about prior to starting and then design your business around those things happening, you know? Because, you know, the abundance can always, I believe the abundance can always come if you do the good work and if it's meaningful to you and whatever that means to your, you know, your personality. But, yeah, certainly a good point around, you know, that all that achievement, all that success, all that, you know, personal possessions won't necessarily bring you more happiness if you're not coming from the right spot to begin with. Okay, Keith, what you said meditation, part of your morning routine, you sit there and meditate. Tell us a little bit about that. What, how long do you meditate for? 20 minutes, did you say?
Yeah, it's usually my new method and my new program that I've been following is 20 minutes, and it's really, it's a variety of a few different things. Have you heard of a guy named Wim Hof?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of his stuff. So I'll do his breathing method sometimes for 20 minutes. There's also a book that I just got. I forget the author's name, but the title is called The Artist's Way. And one of their techniques is it's just full out free writing. So you write three full pages, but you just start writing and there's no rhyme or reason to any of it. And what she says is it's really a brain drain and it's amazing. It's just as effective, if not sometimes even more effective for me, at least than meditation. Just writing and writing it, like any thought that comes to mind. And it would be like, okay, sitting down, writing. Am I really doing this again? This is boring. Wonder what I'm going to have for breakfast. And it goes like that. But like within like 4 or 5 minutes of that, you start shifting into that. You feel yourself quiet down. So yeah, it's that. And then also I follow a Native American spiritual path and the different ways I've learned to pray with my mentors and chiefs and spiritual leaders there. So combination of those three things. And really it's whatever I'm feeling that morning.
I like, I like that writing technique. That's a cool one. And certainly I journal so I can relate to some of that, but I don't continue to write. So I can see how that might be beneficial. What advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
Be present.
Good advice.
Yeah. I was always striving for the next thing and wanted to get to the next place. And so I guess it's the same advice I'm giving my 39-year-old self, is to continue to return to the present moment.
Yeah. No, but a good advice. It's really true. Life can just pass you by otherwise.
Yeah.
What's your meaning of success?
To do it better. Like, I think that each generation, we want to try to improve on what the last generation did. And for me, I'm really heavily focused in on family. So to be able to give my kids a little bit more than I had, just like my father and mother gave me a little bit more than they had. And yeah, to really just raise healthy, loving, caring children.
Yeah. And do you have a piece of productivity advice that you could give the audience? Something that you believe makes you more effective in your day?
Yeah, it's, for me, it really is. It's those three things that I just described that I'll do for my morning practice. I'll also I'll do shortened versions throughout the day. Like, I may just take 2 or 3 minutes, especially if I have like back-to-back calls, just 2 or 3 minutes of a breathing exercise. And I think those little breaks, little resets during the day are super important. And then any heavy cardiovascular exercise that really gets the blood flowing, gets the oxygen into your brain.
Yeah, cool stuff. And guys, you know, the morning practice there, again, everyone's got their own morning practice that I speak to Keith, and it's just an important message because people think they have to follow some sort of template. Just get the morning practice that works for you, you know, and you'll find
so
it through
important,
experimentation.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, and anyone you interview that's successful, they all have a morning practice.
they typically do, and it's always different in some sort of aspect. I mean, there's key fundamentals that are similar, I guess, but... yeah, cool stuff. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food, man, I'm a foodie. I like it all.
Me too.
But I'm really I'm a carbohydrate guy. I try to stay away from them, but I'm a glutton for a big plate of pasta and sausage and meatballs or steak and potatoes.
Okay, yeah, cool. What is your favorite leisure activity?
It would be spending time with my spiritual community. It's what I want to do. I really enjoy that older life before we got really industrialized and then technology and all that. Yeah, I love escaping into nature and being with the fire and being with friends and family.
Yeah, and we didn't touch on that, Keith. I think that would have been a good part of a conversation too. So maybe we'll have a round 2 at some stage in the future.
Absolutely.
Talk about that, because that's of definite interest to myself and the audience. Do you have a favorite book that you would recommend?
I think my favorite all-time book that I would recommend, this is probably the one that I've recommended the most, is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And then there's also a second one by him that I really like called The Master Key to Riches, which is a little harder to find.
Okay. I'll stick those in the show notes, guys. So check them out. Use the Amazon links if you're wishing to support the show. That'd be great. And do you have a favorite quote?
The only thing that's popping into mind is, it's not really a quote, but a mantra. I think whenever I'm starting to do something new or I'm doing something that's uncomfortable and I get to that point that I would normally run or hide or quit, I have this mantra that I just say, I can, I will, I am. And I'll repeat that over and over and over until I move through that discomfort.
I can, I will.
And I am.
And that's powerful, you know, that sort of stuff. Again, and maybe not for everyone, but, you know, sometimes it's just about tricking your mind, isn't it, to change your state?
Yeah, I think it's about holding a certain, a mind state. The more you, whatever you're going to focus on, you're going to get more of.
Yeah, yeah. So just change it up. And yes, certainly affirmations, mantras, whatever you like to call them, can help with that process. The last couple of questions I want to ask you, Steve, Keith. I don't know why I said Steve.
I've had that, other people have made that mistake before, so you're not the first.
I've had that in my head all this morning, and I said, no, it's not Steve, it's Keith, because I was actually, when I was typing up some of the show notes, I just did Steve, and I'm going, what? Where the hell does that come from? Steve-o. Anyway, it might be some sort of alias or something, mate. What do we all have a why, and what does living life with passion and purpose mean to you?
What was the first part of the question?
Do we all have a why?
Like, do we all have that something inside of us?
Yeah, the purpose, the calling.
Yeah, I believe each one of us does, and I think that the one of the biggest tragedies, and I know that you speak to this too, is living life without tapping into that. So I honestly believe that each one of us, we all have this why, this purpose, this place where we're in that divine flow, and that's ultimately where we belong in life. And I think that our number one goal is to get into that place. And yeah, for me, it's sort of shifted a little bit, but I would say the piece that makes me the happiest and the piece that I know that I have the most impact is I really consider myself a leader of leaders. So I love working with leaders, with visionaries, with people that are leading other people. And yeah, that's my hidden why that has been revealed.
Okay. And what about passion and purpose? What does that mean to you?
You know, it's really been in a flux place. I spent all my years up until 2 years ago trying to get out of the rat race and become financially stable. And now we have a ton of passive income that comes in, and, you know, I could take a year or two off of work if I wanted to, and our income's not going to change. So it's really now it's in a place where my passion and my purpose is it's still going back to becoming a leader of leaders and helping leaders.
Yeah.
But I haven't discovered much past that. Right now I'm sort of in a place where I'm just enjoying where I am. It's a little uncomfortable too. Like I know how to operate with my back against the wall, but it's not against the wall anymore. And as weird as that sounds, like it's not comfortable for me yet. I'm comfortable when the pressure's on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. And I think sometimes that's just about the continual, the process of life, isn't it? The journey of life.
Yeah,
I think that's
what
makes it rich occasionally, but it's also nice to be able to, you know, just enjoy the time that you've got, that quiet or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But yeah, good couple of points. Keith, it's been a, didn't say Steve that time. Keith, it's been a great chat, and I really appreciate your thoughts and your inspiration. Certainly interesting chat about network marketing, and, you know, whether you're into it or not, I think there's some lessons to be learnt from that conversation. So loved it, mate. Thanks for taking the time out to come on the show. I suppose, Keith, for the audience to reach you, the best way would be to go to your website, keithcallahan.com. I'll stick that in the show notes at thehiddenwhy.com. Is that the best way to reach you, or is there some other method?
Yeah, that'd be great, Lee. Or they can just pop onto one of the podcasts. So it's All About Beachbody Coaching or The Business of Life. That's where to find me.
Cool. I'll stick those podcasts in the links as well, guys. And Keith, do you have a beach body yourself?
You know, I have a dad beach body. So for me, it's about being happy and healthy and, you know, having a good functioning body. But the days of my six pack abs, they used to be there, but they're not there anymore.
Oh, well, there you go. That's part of the process too. Hey, mate, well, thank you for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed the chat.
Thank you, Lee.
And guys, check it all out. Check out the show notes at thehiddenwhy.com. Thanks, Keith, for coming on the show, and hope you've enjoyed this one. Share it with your network if you have. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. Speak soon.
Thanks for listening to the Hidden Why podcast, where it's all about living life with passion. For all the latest news and updates, please subscribe online to thehiddenwhy.com.
There you go, guys. Did you enjoy my chat with Keith? I hope you did. I would love to hear your thoughts on it all. Are you involved in network marketing? Have you considered it before? What do you think about it? Do you think it's a good business model? Do you think it's ethical? I believe, you know, it's just another business model and it's neither here nor there, but let me know what you think. Jump into thehiddenwhy.com and leave me your comments and thoughts there. Guys, just a reminder, subscribe, please, to thehiddenwhy.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Stay tuned with all the updates and all the happenings. And reach out to me if you have any questions or suggestions for the show. I would love to hear from you. thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com is my email address. Guys, until next time, you know what to do. You need to keep breathing the passion into every moment. You need to keep doing everything with greater purpose. And in doing that, you will discover your hidden why. This is The Hidden Why. This is Lee Martinuzzi signing out.
Thanks for listening to The Hidden Why podcast, where it's all about living life with passion. For all the latest news and updates, please subscribe online, thehiddenwhy.com. This is The Hidden Why.
THY crew, are you looking to discover your hidden why? Then take me up on this opportunity. It's a one-on-one complimentary coaching call valued at $250 where we chat and define your hidden why and the action steps that you can take to help living towards the life you truly desire. Guys, there's a limited amount of spaces available. What you can do is jump onto thehiddenwhy.com, go to the coaching tab, press the link, and then schedule a time that suits you. Would love to chat with you soon.